Welcome, everyone, to Confidence, How to Get More of It. We are going to be talking in this course over the next two classes about confidence and how important it is, and how you should want and could want more of it in order to fuel your dreams. Now, we already discussed in How to Think to Yourself all the components of the world and how they all interact and how and where we have power in our lives. And so we talked about our thoughts, our feelings, our actions, and our results. And so the next course that I think is the most important course to teach anyone is confidence, because confidence is what will give us the fuel to keep learning and keep applying and keep at this work. One of the best ways to generate confidence is by getting coached and getting that perspective and getting that accountability and getting that support that you can get from your coach that you see every single week. But there's some concepts and some ideas and some ways of thinking that will help you understand yourself in relation to the world and how confidence plays a really significant role in that process. So the first question that I asked myself when I'm preparing for anything like this is, what is it? What is confidence? And a lot of times, even in my work, when I kind of went back to go through what I've already taught on this and what I've already shared on this and the classes that we've interacted with on this, what are the things that come up in those classes? And there's three main definitions that I think will help us as we get started. So the three things that we want to talk about are self-confidence. And how is that different than confidence? And how is that different than arrogance? And so many of my students, so many of you have a really challenging time when it comes to understanding what it means to be confident, because you get it mixed up with arrogance. And you kind of want to push it away. Oh, that's not me. I'm not arrogant. And so I want to give you three different definitions so you can feel confident with ease and understand that confidence is something that you want to feel. It's great to feel. And you don't have to worry about people thinking you're arrogant. Well, you might have to worry about them thinking you're arrogant, but you know that you're not doing that because of the way that you're thinking. So self-confidence, let's start actually with confidence. So confidence, the way I define it, is believing in your ability in one or more areas. So you can be confident and have the feeling of confidence in specific areas. So a lot of us are confident in one area, but not in the other. So confident, if we're just talking about confidence, it's for an ability that you have. So I'm pretty confident when it comes to driving a car. I'm pretty confident when it comes to walking down the street. I'm pretty confident when it comes to turning on my computer and Googling something. Okay. So I have confidence in certain areas. And so do you. All of us have confidence in some areas, maybe one area, maybe several areas. Okay. So we're applying that word when it just comes to one of our abilities. Now, self-confidence is actually believing in yourself. So it's not just believing in your ability in one area, it's believing in yourself as a person. And this is a huge distinction that I want to make sure you understand, because you can be confident at your job or you can be confident in playing basketball and not be self-confident in your life. Okay. So one of the things that I notice with a lot of people is they have confidence in things that they have a lot of evidence for. and they won't have confidence in other areas. And so they lose out on the opportunity to be self-confident. Now, here's why that is. And I find this really fascinating, is as we get older, we decide to be confident about things that we're good at. So if we know that, and how do we know that we're good at something? Because we have lots of evidence that we're good at. We're good at making money. We're good at being a wife or a husband. We're good at dating. We're good at swimming, right? We have all this evidence. We've won all these trophies. We've gotten all this feedback. People have told us we have a good track record. And so we start, as we become adults, only being confident in the things that we're already good at. And we stop doing things that we're not confident in. But how did we get confident in those things? How did we become a confident swimmer? How did we become a confident walker? Well, we had to start somewhere, right? We had to start as children, most of us, developing our ability to believe in our ability in that area. But as children, we are born with a level of self-confidence, unless someone interferes with it, that pushes us out into the world to try new things that we absolutely suck at. Have you ever seen a little kid trying to learn how to walk? They're terrible at it. Terrible. All they do is fall. All they do is fall. Drinking out of a glass as a child, terrible. Now, if we had to be confident before we tried things, we would never try anything as children. We would never develop any abilities. Well, unfortunately, that's what we end up doing as adults, is we lose our self-confidence, which is just belief in ourselves, belief that we can figure things out, belief that we can try and get good in things, a growth mindset that we can keep working at something until we get good at it. Most children have this ability, and we lose it when we're adults. We stop trying new things. We don't want to do anything we suck at. We don't want to fall ever. Notice as little kids, we don't care if we fall. We don't care if we fail. We don't care if we screw everything up. We just keep going for it. But as adults, we stop doing that. It's mind-boggling to me. One of my theories about this is that before the brain is fully developed into its primitive fight or flight, be afraid of everything, before that, we're children. And so we have much less fear. We have much less of our primitive brain scaring us to not do things. So it's unfortunate that we're not taught this. We're not taught how to develop self-confidence. I believe that as much as they teach us history, as much as they teach us math, as much as they teach us words and reading and other languages, they should teach us the skill of self-confidence. And they should teach us how to create confidence within ourselves for our lifetime. Because too many of you all are thinking, I can't do that because I'm not confident. Instead of thinking, I can do anything I want to do because I'm self-confident. Okay, so that's the difference between confidence and self-confidence. And then the third word is arrogance. Now, the way that I define self-confidence is I'm great. I can learn anything I want to learn. I can do anything I want to do. I believe in myself. And I also believe in all the other humans to be able to do the same. This is our given right as human beings to develop ourselves. And every other human being has that too. Now, what arrogance is I'm great and you're not. And the problem with arrogance is the way that you build up arrogance inside of yourself is by putting other people down. If you can keep them down and you up, then you can be arrogant. And that's why we're not attracted to people who are arrogant, because people who are arrogant are constantly trying to make us less than and them more than. And we are very attracted to self-confident people because self-confident people show us what it means to truly believe in ourselves as humans. And so you'll hear me talk a lot about how much I believe in myself, how much I love myself, how capable I think I am, huge dreams that I think I can do. But you'll also hear me talk about you, everyone being able to do the same. And that's why most of you, when I talk about how great I am, it doesn't rub you the wrong way, because I'm not saying I'm great, you're not. I'm saying let's call life. Okay. So confidence is one area, one ability. Self-confidence is believing in yourself as a human. And arrogance is thinking that you're great and everyone else isn't. And the worse everyone else is, the better you are. Fascinating way to look at it. Okay, so that's what it is. That's what confidence is. Now, why does it matter? Why are we talking about confidence? Why does it matter? And my answer for that is that confidence is so important as a skill to develop because it fuels our actions and it fuels what it is we want to do. So when you are developing confidence, when you are thinking about creating this skill for yourself, the reason why it matters, the reason why it's so important is because it will give you fuel. It will give you energy. It will give you momentum to create whatever it is you want in your life. And I believe that whatever it is you want in your life is your destiny. So if there is something that you truly want in your life and you're not getting it because you're not developing the skill of confidence, you are not living the life you're destined to live that you want to create for yourself. I believe every single person is 100% worthy no matter what they've done or what they haven't done. And that will never change. But I don't believe that you're more worthy or less worthy if you live your destiny. But I do believe your life will be so much more fun and so much more meaningful if you go after what you want. And you will go after what you want so much more often if you're confident. So I want to help you develop the skill of confidence. It's not a trait that you have or don't have. It's a skill that I can help you develop, that you can work on, that you can work on with your coach to develop more of it. And I think it's one of the most important skills that you can spend time developing. Much more important than financial literacy, much more important than understanding how to drive a car, much more important than understanding how to cook a meal. It is much more important for you to be working on the skill of confidence because it will apply to every other thing you ever try to do. Okay. So how do we generate self-confidence? We generate self-confidence to overcome our own primitive brain, to achieve our goals, to live our destiny. And the way that we do that is by understanding where it comes from. Confidence does not come from experience. Confidence, self-confidence does not come from a good track record. Self-confidence does not come from other people telling you how great you are. Self-confidence comes from your thoughts. Now, experience may trigger thoughts of self-confidence. Other people may trigger thoughts of self-confidence. Experience might trigger it, but you are always making the choice, either consciously or unconsciously, to believe in yourself or not. And here's what's crazy, my friends. Why not? Why not just believe in yourself? If the choice is between believing in yourself or not believing in yourself, why not believe in yourself? Can you give me a reason not to believe in yourself and not to generate self-confidence? The only reason you can give me is that you're afraid. So then we have to ask, okay, what are we afraid of? What is it that we're so afraid of that we don't spend the time and energy to develop the skill of self-confidence? And one of the reasons why I think a lot of us don't is we're comforting ourselves with self-doubt, which sounds crazy. How do you comfort yourself with self-doubt? Well, if you don't believe in yourself, if you indulge in self-doubt and you have a habit of self-doubt, you never have to put yourself out there in the world. So you don't need self-confidence because you're hiding. But the problem with hiding is your dreams eat you up inside. You have these dreams, you have these desires, and they're literally consuming your life without doing anything out there. So the way that we develop self-confidence is we kind of go back to the original class, how to think to yourself, is we decide what to think about ourselves, decide to think what to think about our capability, decide to think about our lives in ways that generate enough self-confidence to fuel our beautiful, wonderful, amazing lives that we most desire. So you get to answer the question, how do you believe in you? And some of you are much better at believing in other people. And you believe in their ability. And you believe in their capacity. And you believe in their worth. But you don't believe in your own. And the only reason you don't believe in your own is because of the thoughts you're choosing to think. That is it. I'm going to give you some examples, and we're going to actually play with this in the second half of the class. I want to work with you on this, but you have to first understand the premise that your thoughts are optional and you have choices of what to believe and what to think. And you must put the effort into thinking the thoughts that will generate the self-confidence if you want to have that self-confidence fuel that creates the life that you want. So I'm going to give you some examples of some thoughts that I think in order to generate my own self-confidence. Now, these thoughts are easy to think when nothing's going wrong, when the circumstances support it, when the results support it. But I believe these thoughts even when the circumstances don't support it, even when my results don't support it, I choose to believe this anyway. So one of the thoughts that I believe truly and deeply, and I don't just believe it, I choose to think it all the time, is that I am 100% worthy. I am worthy of being here in this world on purpose. I was 100% worthy when I was born. I'm 100% worthy now, and I'm 100% worthy when I die. Just the mere fact that I have been born on this planet at this time makes me worthy, and it makes you worthy too. And there's nothing you can do, not one thing that you can do in this world that will make you any less worthy. And there is no one else in the entire world who is more worthy than you. And not one person in this entire world that is less worthy than you or me. And in that belief, I feel confident. I feel so much self-confidence. I believe that my life matters, that I'm meant to be here, that I have work to do, that my desire is important, and my contribution is the reason I'm alive. And when I believe that I was placed here somehow, some way, for the purpose of creating a contribution, I believe in myself so much. I want to do my part. Okay. So even when I fail, even when someone puts me down, even when I make a mistake, even when I hurt someone else's feelings, I come back to, I am worthy. This is part of the process of life, and nothing has made me less worthy. That's one of my thoughts. The other thought that I have is I'm beautiful. And I want to tell you about this thought because I think it's very important for women especially, but also for men, for however you identify, that you believe in your own beauty, visual beauty and internal beauty. Because when you are in this visual world that we all live in, with lots of judgment about how we should and shouldn't appear, you need to find a way to be accepting of yourself no matter what. So for me, by believing I am beautiful no matter what, I decide what that means. And I can't emphasize how important this is in terms of your own self-confidence. Because if you believe, and for so many years, I believed that I was ugly. I believed that I was fat. I believed that I was unworthy. I believed that I was unacceptable. I believed that nobody would love me. And it was one of the most debilitating things that ruined any self-confidence that I had. So I played around with really inching myself up from I hate my body, I hate myself, to I have a body and I have a self, to I'm okay, I'm not bad, I'm attractive, I'm beautiful. And when I landed on I'm beautiful, it took me a long time to try to believe that. A long time to try and believe that I am beautiful as a person. And nobody is more or less beautiful in terms of what it means to be beautiful in my world. And one of the things that that really did for me is it took away all the judgment. And one of the examples that I use a lot is with like selfies. When I like take a picture, when someone takes a picture of me, or if I take a picture of me with someone else, one of the examples that I use all the time is a lot of people will take these pictures and they're like, oh, that's not a good picture. That's not good of me. Let's redo it. But one of the things that I realized is, but that is what we looked like right then in that moment. And what we're doing is we're judging that moment and how we looked in that moment as less attractive, less beautiful than another moment. And as soon as we start doing that judgment on ourselves, we have all this conditional judgment about when we're beautiful and when we're not. And we're participating in this idea that the goal is to be more beautiful and that we can't be acceptable unless we are. And so for me, no matter what is happening, I decide to believe that about myself. First thing in the morning, food in my teeth, when I'm eating a meal, hair all over the place, extension showing, you know, just played pickleball, pouring sweat, makeup down my face. I am beautiful. And I try not to say I'm more beautiful here and less beautiful here. I try to accept that for myself. And when I walk into a place, I say it to myself. When I'm, whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm wearing, however I actually look, thinking and believing that generates a sense of ownership of that word for me. And so when someone else believes it or doesn't believe it, it can't take away from my own belief. And I will tell you, for me, this was so important when I was dating. When I was going out and I was dating different men and they were all having different opinions about how I looked, and some would say I was beautiful, some would say I was okay. I had one guy actually say, you're all right. I mean, I wouldn't call you beautiful. That's what he said to me. I'm like, oh, well, I am beautiful. You're very confused. I don't know like how you define it, but the way I define it, that's how I am. And so because I had such a trauma with how I looked when I was a child, it's very important for me to own those words and what it means to be beautiful to me, and to not let anyone else make that decision for me. And the other one is, and you've all of you have heard me talk about this one, I'm amazing. I'm just amazing. So are you. We're amazing. And I say it a lot out loud, and I say it a lot to myself. And those three thoughts really generate a lot of self-confidence for me. And when people tell me that I'm amazing, it's like one of the things that people say to me sometimes is they say confidence comes from whether other people recognize, you know, how great you are. And for me, I help them recognize it. And the way that I do that is I show them how. I show them how to think highly of me because I think highly of me. I show them how to like me because I like me. I demonstrate it. I show them how to think I'm amazing and how to think I'm beautiful and how to think that I'm worthy because I demonstrate that in how I treat myself, how I talk to myself, and how I show up. And that is a skill to, because it takes courage to believe that you're beautiful. It takes courage to believe that you're amazing. Now, I have taught this before and I've had people come up to me and say this, which I think is hilarious, actually. They'll say, yeah, but it's easy for you to believe that you're amazing. And it's easy for you to believe that you're beautiful because you are. And I say, but so are you. So what is your excuse? And then they say, well, I'm not beautiful and I'm not amazing compared to you. And I said, that isn't how it works. You can't judge yourself as not beautiful, judge yourself as not amazing, judge yourself as not worthy, and then say that it's easy for me to believe in myself when you're saying all these negative thoughts. Of course, if you don't believe that you're beautiful, worthy, or amazing, you're not going to have the self-confidence that I have because you're not choosing to believe those things. Now, I don't care if other people don't want me to think that about myself. I don't care at all because the alternative for me was intolerable. Believing that I was ugly and hateful and unworthy and terrible was, it made up my life. Like I almost couldn't live it. And so if other people want to think that about me, I get it. I used to think that about me too. I'm just not going to ever again because I can't see an upside. And I see so much upside into believing in myself. Now, I don't think I'm more beautiful than anyone else, more amazing than anyone else, more worthy than anyone else. But I also don't think that I created myself. And so this really helps me when I'm believing these things because I'm not like, look at how great I am. I created me. I believe that something else created me and that I'm just appreciating the creation that was created, the human being that was created. In a meta way, I'm appreciating my life and what I've been given, my ability and my worthiness and my amazingness and my beauty. That's it. And it is not a physical thing at all. It's a very emotional thing that I choose to believe for myself. And I encourage all of you to believe to yourselves. So people will say to me, it's very difficult for me to look in the mirror and say I'm beautiful. I'm like, I get it. It took me a long time to believe that about myself. But if you are willing to commit to working on that, it is a skill you can develop. And it's something that no one can take away from you, right? And you've seen this in self-confident people that don't match the socialized definition of what acceptable is, of what beautiful is. And they still own their own beauty and they still own their own worthiness and their own amazingness, even though it doesn't match. That is what I'm talking about. Because if you can believe in your own beauty, you can believe in your own amazingness when all the evidence in the world outside of you or what you've created says to the contrary, you will keep going and you will keep fueling yourself and you'll keep appreciating yourself. And you'll keep creating. And that's what we need you to do in this world. We need you to have self-confidence because we need what you have. It's why you're here. You're here to access your desire and deliver on that in your life. That's your contribution. Your life, living it with self-confidence and showing up as 100% you, accepting you, is what this world needs. It's truly what this world needs, no matter what anyone else says to you. That's not relevant. Other people's beliefs about you are not your business. They're not about you. So if I think I'm beautiful and somebody else doesn't, it's crazy to me. I'm like, it's like if we're both looking at a rose And I'm like, that rose is beautiful. And they're saying the rose isn't. I'm confused. I love the desert landscape. Someone else may not like it. I'm confused. I'm not like, well, maybe they're right. Maybe I'm not beautiful. If they don't think I'm beautiful, maybe I'm not. I would never choose to think that to myself because I want to value my opinion that I've worked so hard to create more than the opinion of someone else that they haven't spent any time trying to create. And this is how I develop for myself, my own belief in myself. And it's how I develop belief in all of my students and all of the people that I work with. Here are some other thoughts that I want to offer you to kind of try on as like clothes, as like thought clothes, right? And I want to give you permission and the suggestion and the advice to try to believe these thoughts, regardless of what's going on in the world, regardless of what's going on with you physically or mentally during the day, just choosing to believe it regardless. So, for example, let's say you have the flu and you're terribly sick, and you get up and you look at yourself in the mirror and you're a pasty. Maybe you've been vomiting, your hair's a mess, maybe you're a little pale. In that moment, can you see the beauty that is you? Can you find it regardless of what's going on? If you fail terribly at something, if you hurt someone's feelings, if you say something you didn't want to do, if you act a fool, whatever, can you still find your own amazingness in that moment, regardless of the evidence outside of you? That's what I'm asking you to develop. That's the skill of self-confidence. So here are some other thoughts. I am accepted. I am loved. I am popular. What I say matters. Now, the way I set these thoughts up makes it seem like it requires other people to be involved, right? I'm accepted. I'm loved. I'm popular. What I say matters. But here's the magic of these thoughts. It doesn't require anyone else to believe them but you. Are you accepted by you? Are you loved by you? Are you popular with you? Are you interested in you? Do you pay attention to you? Do you want to be around you? Do you enjoy your own company? Do you put yourself on a pedestal for yourself? And do you believe that what you say matters? Because if you believe it, it's true, period. It only takes one person to prove the belief that you're accepted. And that's you accepting you. I'm accepted. I'm approved of. I belong because I believe that about me. And when you can generate these thoughts, I'm worthy, I'm beautiful, I'm amazing, I'm accepted, I'm loved, I'm popular, what I say matters. When you believe that, and I mean, really believe that, your self-confidence will be magnetic. It will be attractive. It will be amazing to other people. But that's not why you do it. You do it for you to generate the emotion so you can go out there and do your work in the world. Other people cannot give you confidence. It is not something we can hand out. I can give you lots of thoughts to believe that you will then believe. And a lot of us were raised with parents that gave us thoughts that helped us believe in ourselves. One of the thoughts my mom used to tell me all the time is how bright I was. She's like, you're so smart. You're so bright. Now, this was a thought she just kind of gave me. It was her thought, but I borrowed it and I believed it and I lived that thought out. But it wasn't because she said it that I felt that way. It's because she said it and I believed it. And then I thought it that I felt that way. And so do not look outside yourself for confidence. Do not look outside yourself for people to tell you how great you are and how approved you are and how amazing you are in order for you to feel confident, because you'll be looking for a long time. And even if you find it, it will then be dependent on them. And as soon as they revoke it, and they will, my friends, they will, because they're human, then you can't generate your own self-confidence because you're relying on them. This is the skill that we're developing. So let's just talk briefly about, why is self-confidence so attractive? Why does it create so much authority? Like, if you think about leaders and the people we want to lead us, we need them to be self-confident. We don't want leaders that are insecure. I don't want to follow anyone that's insecure. Now, it's not, I'm not like, well, do you have a right to be confident? Prove that you should be confident here. No, I'm just attracted if someone is. I believe them. I want to follow them. I want to give them the authority because they're generating a way for me to relax into their leadership, for their authority to take over in this area where I can give up and let them lead. And you all know, any leader that you've followed in your life, it's just such an amazing feeling to have a great leader that you can follow. And you have to be that for yourself. You have to create a way to lead yourself in your own life, to trust yourself and to believe in yourself. So in the second part of this class, we're going to talk about how we can generate confidence, not just with our thoughts, but also with our willingness to feel any emotion. And I'm going to teach you how to do that in class two, to be open to and willing to experience any emotion will generate more self-confidence than you probably have ever had. I know that that's what it did for me. And we're also going to talk about the difference between your current ability and your current capacity, and how we can believe in into our future capacity, our future ability, in order to generate the self-confidence that we need to overcome our current ability, if it's lacking. Which for many of us trying new things, we're going to be lacking in our current ability. So the way that we overcome it is by believing in our future ability. So that's what we're going to talk about in the next class next week. But for the rest of this class, what I would like to do is talk to each of you who want to develop more self-confidence, who struggle with the belief in yourself, with the belief in your dreams and your desires in order to create, or if you're struggling because other people seem to be bringing you down and making you have less self-confidence. Somebody's asking, how do you access what you desire and what you want? And that is such a beautiful question. And it really comes from understanding what your heart literally is telling you to do. And if you don't have self-confidence, you will disregard that. You won't even pay attention to it. You won't even acknowledge it, because you'll believe that whatever it is that your heart is telling you doesn't matter because you couldn't do it anyway. Whether it's becoming a ballerina, starting your own business, quitting your job, having a child, dating a new person, you won't even hear it if you don't have self-confidence, because self-confidence is what allows you to consider your options, because there's nothing you can't do. And there's nothing you can't try. And there's nothing that you don't deserve. There is nothing that's too good to be true for you. That is real. If you have that desire in your heart, you are meant to have that thing. I promise you. Okay. So the other question here was, what do you think it takes to believe a new thought? I keep trying to believe new thoughts. I believe some of them and don't believe others of them. What makes the difference between the thoughts you can believe and the ones that you don't? It's just practice. I know it sounds crazy, but it really is a skill. So when someone says to me, why can't I do a somersault? I just personally can't do a somersault. And I say, everyone can do a somersault. Everyone. If you are physically able to do, and you have, you know, you have the muscles to be able to do it, you can do a somersault, but you just haven't practiced it enough. You just haven't done it enough. You just haven't woken up every single day and tried to do a somersault. It's kind of like a handstand or a headstand. You know, I see all these challenges on Instagram talking about, I can help you do a headstand. I can help you do a handstand. It's anything that you're willing to practice every single day, you're going to get better at. So when you say to me, I try to believe new thoughts and I believe some of them and I don't believe other ones, you just haven't believed them yet. You just haven't practiced long enough. It took me a long time to believe that I was beautiful. It took me a long time to believe that I was amazing, but I kept at it. And as you believe it, and this is the magic of how this works, as you believe it, you will start feeling self-confident. When you feel self-confident, you start taking action. And when you start taking action, you start creating results, which builds the evidence that triggered the beliefs that you can believe in yourself. And that becomes the new magical cycle instead of the cycle of I'm unworthy, I'm not good, I'm not acceptable, I need to fix myself in order to be loved. That's garbage. We stop believing that. We start believing we are 100% worthy, acceptable, and beautiful right now in this moment. I choose to believe that. Now, when the way you ask the question is like, well, I just notice that I don't believe it. And this is how I'd like to explain that. It's kind of like me saying, well, I just notice that I'm sitting down. Why am I not standing up? Why don't I believe? Right? If you want to stand up, you have to stand up. I know it sounds basic. If you want to believe, you have to believe on purpose. If you want to stand up, you're going to have to go through the effort to stand up. But when you come to me and you're like, I just noticed that I'm sitting down all the time. I'm not standing up. It's because you're not doing the thing that you need to do to stand up. You're not doing the thing that you need to do to believe. And what you need to do to believe is to choose your thoughts on purpose, no matter what. You make a decision. I will believe that I can do this. I will believe that I am a whole amazing human, no matter what. And if you find yourself not believing it, then you need to believe it. You need to show up. You need to study it. You need to think of it as scripture. To believe in yourself, to believe those thoughts, and to practice believing them.
I've been struggling with my self-confidence for the last 10, 15 years, I would say. Prior to that, I was very self-confident. And a lot of that had to do with how well I performed at anything I decided to do. So I had all the evidence. And then about 15 years ago, I started a graduate program. And they recruited me. They offered me money. It was very prestigious. And I thought, yes. This is me. This is what I do.
Yes.
And then I struggled at that school. And actually, they asked me to leave because my grades were not good enough. And since then, I've really struggled with my self-confidence. I think I took that experience to really mean that maybe I really can't do everything that I set my mind to. And that's really affected me, I'd say, professionally and in some personal aspects as well. And so, you know, I've talked to a few people about it over the years, and there's enough evidence, again, professionally, that I'm actually quite well accomplished, even professionally.
Yeah.
But still, the thoughts are there. And
okay, so let's look at it. Yeah, yes. Let's look at it, because a lot of times this will happen. Like, you'll have an experience, or you'll have a relationship, or a failure, or something that will then give you what you think is evidence to believe. It's like permission to believe that you're not good or you're not capable, whatever. So let's kind of untangle it. So you went to this new school and you applied yourself 100%.
Yes.
Okay. And you weren't able to keep up. You weren't able to get the grades.
Yes. I mean, I applied myself 100%, but I was also overstretched. I think I tried to do too many things. So I had academic commitments and non-academic commitments at the same time.
Okay.
And so I think looking back, I took on too much.
Okay. So that's very different than not being capable and applying yourself 100%.
Yes.
Right. So listen, this is everything. If I start a graduate program and my grades aren't there, and the reason I give myself for my grades not being there is that I'm not good enough, I'm not capable, I'm not smart enough, then that will affect my self-confidence in believing in myself. But if I tell myself the story, oh my gosh, I started this graduate program, but I also had all this other stuff going on at the same time. So I wasn't able to give the time that this graduate program needed. That's not going to affect my self-confidence as much. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? So it's really important. This is why I talk a lot about how we can actually change our past by the story that we tell ourselves about it. And so if you just said that to me, if you're like, oh, well, I was going to do this graduate program, but I had too many other commitments, so I actually left that graduate program. because the grades weren't there because I couldn't apply myself fully, we're going to have a whole different experience.
Yes. Yes. I've debated that in my own mind, kind of how much of it was the level of commitment versus my own, you know, abilities at the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's true that I had a lot on my plate, but I think I still think to myself, well, why did I not recognize early on that I took on too much? There's still this self-doubt now mm-hmm. that in the future, can I trust myself to recognize when I've taken on too much versus, you know, what I am capable of tackling.
Yeah. But that's also a choice. It's like, oh, I took on too much. I didn't recognize it at the time. No big deal. Instead of, oh my gosh, what does this mean about me? I must have something off if I didn't recognize that I took on too much so soon. And now I probably shouldn't do anything else. I'm kind of making fun of us because that's how our brain works, but it's crazy how we can just decide, oh, I took on too much and I didn't recognize it at the time. And who cares? That has nothing to do with what I'm capable of in the future and what I want to do in the future. And so I believe in myself. The fact that they came after me and gave me all these offers and like, I'm going to ride that to the end of my life, right? I'm an amazing human. They wanted me to come to this course. Now I had too much going on at the time and I wasn't able to do it, but it doesn't even, it's kind of like, I'll give you an example. So I got a book deal. They offered me all this money to write a book and do this book deal. And then I was like, I'm amazing. HarperCollins loves me. What else do we need in the world? Now, I ended up not doing that book deal with them because they wanted, what I realized later is that they wanted to have the rights to my work, some of my work. And I wasn't willing to do that. But I don't even ever think about that part. I only think about the part where HarperCollins wanted me. Right. And it can be the same for you. Like, this is what is so cool about the human brain is we get to decide what to believe. Now, people will say to me, but you're just being disillusioned by your own self. Yes, that is true for any story that we choose to believe, whether it's positive or negative. So if we're going to be disillusioned by our own brain, we might as well choose to believe positive things. So I want to ask you this, and this is a really important question. All of you can ask yourselves, what do you want to believe about yourself and that experience? What do you want to believe?
That it's not a defining moment in a negative way. Mm-hmm. Actually, it opened up a new avenue towards my career and where I end up living. That wouldn't have happened if I'd stayed in that program. I think I'm much more successful professionally now doing what I do, instead of what would have been the case, had I stayed in that program. So yeah.
That's amazing. I was guided, even though I was good enough, they wanted me there, just wasn't for me. I had to tell them no. You know, it's like you get to create the whole scenario for yourself because you get to decide what is true about you. And I know that so many of you think that you're just observing yourself and then whatever you notice, that's what you have permission to believe, but that's not how it works. You get to decide what to believe about yourself. People are like, come on, like that doesn't seem right, but it is right. You're doing it anyway. So what have you been believing about yourself because of this experience? Give me one sentence that has been detrimental.
I have it because I've been listening to your one sentence.
Okay, good.
Perspective. I have it. And the sentence is, I'm not good enough.
I'm not good enough. Can anyone else raise their hand and see if they've ever thought this thought? I'm not good enough. Now, a lot of people will say to me, the reason why I believe this is because of this experience where I failed. And that's why I believe I'm not good enough. But I have just as many students who are crazy successful, who are having imposter syndrome, who think they aren't good enough. So it's not the results that you're creating. It's like, oh my gosh, how did I make all this money? I'm not good enough. Or, oh my gosh, I got kicked out of this program. I'm not good enough. It doesn't matter what's happening in your life. You can choose to think that thought no matter what. but you can also choose to think, I'm amazing.